Welcome back, everyone. I'm Coffee. We've got a very interesting panel today. And in this particular one, we're going to be looking at two case studies in two separate cities, in two separate countries. And it's my pleasure to introduce Tony Lewis to talk on Antwerp.
Okay, start right away. New cases for the Société Philharmonique d'Anvers in 1814 and 1818. It's a very specific case, one city, very limited time frame. It is part of my PhD I'm now currently finishing. The title of the PhD is the Conquering the World in Style, the Dissemination and Incubation of New Dancing Repertoires in Europe based on case studies from the South and Latin America. So I'm trying to avoid too much of a localism here. So I will first introduce you to some facts and figures about the local situation in the South of the Netherlands before 1814, that is. So in 1795, we had the French army marching in, and they're conquering us. They install a revolutionary government. They abolish the Ancien Régime, so all ancient corporatistic societies, clubs, trade organizations, and religious orders are abolished, and this creates more or less a vacuum situation for sociability, in which a new style of sociability is able to develop and to foster. And Michel Aguilon wrote quite extensively about the subject in the 70s of the 20th century. His book, Le Cercle dans la France bourgeoise, between 1810 and 1848. In which he more or less states that the legal basis for this new sociability only was available around 1910 when Napoleon issued a new law on that particular issue. But we know from local research from Professor Hilde Gees from the University of Antwerp that it is not completely true, because we find back, as Michel Aguilon also discovers, that there were many clubs already in existence before 1810. And they were actually based on an older law from 1791, which stated that in order to be able to exist, they had to be recognized by the local city council. They had to apply for that recognition. There was a whole process going on. And mostly, very importantly, politics was strictly forbidden from their range of activities. So they tended to focus on, from the outside, that is, on cultural, leisure, scientific activities like botanics, for instance, were very popular. And in fact, what they do is create this new French government, creates a new style of contact zones. And that's a term I learned from Stephen Greenblatt in his manifesto on cultural mobility. And I consider it more or less this new laboratoria in which the new elites, which the new French style government wants to create, have the chance to foster and to develop their networks. And this is also when all the elites try to regroup in this period, they have to go through this application process in order to be recognized, and they have very much to prove that they are socially mixing up, that the classes don't matter to them, and so that they show in all respect that they are mixing socially. This is, of course, the beginning. After a while, after Napoleon comes into power, you see this revolutionary fervor cooling down a bit. And so what you actually see is that all new clubs that are founded are more or less avoiding social mixing and are more or less trying to distinguish themselves culturally one from another. So they're aiming very much at different sizes, different chunks of the social range, so to say. Very important as a background economically for Antwerp is the opening of the river Scheldt. It's a big river running through the city and connecting it directly to the sea. It was closed for trade since 1640, and so it's open again for trade, which creates a huge surge in local economy, also supported by the fact that Napoleon is wanting to build lots of warships in Antwerp in order to invade Great Britain, which never happened. Nevertheless, it created a lot of local economy. And more specifically for the Société Philharmonique d'Anvers, it was created in 1808, which is quite late after the French came in, and it was only recognized 3 years later. So you can see that this, the tenderness of this recognition process is quite something. It's not something that was automatic. You had really to apply, to reapply, to arrange it in order to be recognized. And so they tended, of course, to organize mostly musical activities, famous concerts, balls also. And they were very successful at it. So successful that they were, in fact, the first local society that was able to open their own concert room on the November 27th, 1814. And so we can. They are often considered as the very first modern ballroom, concert room style building in Antwerp from that day. My fascination, personal fascination with that particular Société Philharmonique came from the discovery of these series of programmes de danse like this one. They're in the city in the city library of Antwerp, which is a bit strange place to discover such a thing, because they're strictly speaking archival material, in my opinion. This is a programme de danse de à la Redoute de la Société Philharmonique from the 18th of December 1815. We have four such pages, this huge piece. It's an A3 size style sheet of paper. And they picked, in fact, all these dances. You can see column, and then four blocks, waltz, another column, four blocks, etc. These four blocks actually are quadrilles. They are four contredanses danced en suite, arranged en suite, but they are not at all the latest style of quadrille dancing around 1815, which tended already to strive to a more standardized version. Not any block in all those programs is the same except for two, which were repeated twice. So we have most of these programs were completely different one from another, in as far as goes to the quadrille dancing, which makes me wondering where they came from. And which is interesting is this little page numbers indicating or suggesting at least that they stemmed from the same source. Well, this is a bit difficult because I was not able to discover the real source. I was preparing all the names because you see all these names of these particular countries by searching into Parisian and local produced dance collections, but I was never able to find out what, because mostly it's a presentation like this, one sheet of music, another with the description of the dance, and you always had this one dance at a time. It's never four in a row. It's never arranged that way in the editions of that day. So I'm still puzzled a bit about what it is. My best guess is that it's a manuscript at the disposal of the members of society, in which he could also write over the music or let the music be copied by their dance teacher in order to prepare for the balls. What is even more intriguing is that it's very rare material. 1815 is very early for dance programs. I don't know of any dance programs printed like that, not in Belgium, not elsewhere. And the only similar version of that was a series of quadrilles published annually by Almax in London, but they are apparently a bit later. They are about 1830 that they start to be published. So that is a similar arrangement. It's the same aim. It's to give the opportunity to prepare for the quadrilles, but it's really rare to have a program depicting them all in one sheet of paper nevertheless. And that made me ask the question, why would they bother? Why at all would you as a society do that? Put all this energy and cost into the production of this kind of programs because nobody else did. I went to the bookkeeping of lots of musical societies organizing balls in that same time frame. Never, only two mentions of an order to a publisher for a dance program. Only twice. In hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of records, accountable accountancy records. It's really amazing. So I had to find out for whom these papers, these ball programs were meant. Because it's not easy to find out in the first place what was this society, for whom were they organizing their balls. And so I tried to find out, and I stumbled upon the research of Hilde Greves from the University of Antwerp, because she compared all the existing societies between 1800 and 1830 in order to find out which networks there existed between their members. And so what she also found out is that in this application process, to be recognized as a society officially, you had to put down your rule book, le règlement. And this is the very first of society, and from which you can learn that if you wanted to become a member of that society, you had to apply for a new form, supported by two members at least of the society, and then the board, a small group of people, very undemocratically, decided that you could become a member or not. And once you were a member, you were more or less about equal, because they wanted at all price to avoid social mixing, which is not evident, and that's perhaps the reason why they were recognized so lately, 8 foundation, 11 recognition, because the local prefect, Mr. Dagon, in 1805, refused another application of a similar society, stating that they were not trying to socially mix at all. They were not organizing, his opinion, enough balls pour n'avoir point à y recevoir les militaires et autres Français, that is, the new elites. So they were refusing to organize balls in his eyes, because they just did simply refuse to mix socially with the new elites. And Dagon could know that because he was the dancing master of the local opera house before the French invaded the country. So he became city prefect after being a dancing master. He knew the elites from first-hand experience. Nevertheless, this organizing of balls became very, very important for every society. In order to be recognized, but also because their members liked it a lot. It was an economical, very important feature in order to survive, to attract enough members, to have a certain financial viability. And this is the little memory card for the first season of existence. It's 5 concerts, 5 flutes, 5 balls. If you look at the yearly basis, there are other announcements of balls. You come more close to 2/3 of balls versus 1/3 of concerts in this particular period, which is interesting. It's not the only society doing this. Most societies are doing this at that time in Antwerp. And it is linked to something else. It links to the danse romanie, which the French imported from Paris, this dance craze which kicked in after La Terreur in 1795. And this graph actually depicts the economical effect of that. Between 1806 and 1816, the number of ballrooms in the city increased by 600%. And I know this particularly in such a degree of detail because all balls were taxed. I asked a question some presentations ago about that, and that's the reason why, because we know exactly where was danced and how many tickets were sold per ball. And we know that for this whole range of years, and even later into the 19th century, which is intriguing, and you see really a huge increase, which go perfectly in sync with the number of pubs rising. They have a similar increase of 600% over this 10 years, which is the base of the Belgian pub culture, I guess. it's only 1% of the pubs where they could dance. So it's fair small amount of pubs. The 200 pubs in London, but we had 700 pubs in Antwerp. It was a small city too, you will see that. Because I tried to figure out where this pub was situated, and I was helped again by the team of Hilde Greves from the University of Antwerp. Jason Pearson is working there as a historical GIS specialist, and they are putting in all type of databases of tax records, of housing schemes, etc., into this lovely maps of them. And we were able, to depict them on a map of 1813. This is a situation around 1813. You see a huge group of dancing halls in the north. That is the old city, the medieval city, and it's close to the port where all this activity was, building activity of ships was going on. And lots of economical activity, ships arriving from the international goods. So there was lots of sailors available who went dancing. And our friends are here down south. So if you look at the social geography a bit more, it's not really well reacting.
You want to?
No, I want to switch back. Actually, yes, there we are. So go back page down. You just want to show it. It's the, have another small map coming over. Show you. So it's this one. How do you do that? It's a bit annoying, yeah. It's just not an option. Yeah, it could go down, but I did that and it doesn't react at all. Slide is not to be seen. But it's a pity because it's a very interesting slide. Well, carry on doing it.
Yeah.
I just have to escape. This one, no, let it be. It's okay. I'll just try to do it this way. So you have there the kernel density analysis of these dancing holes, and you see very much this grouping in the north, and you also have this little circle in the south, which is actually depicting the three most prestigious dancing holes in the city. And that is the Kool van Liershof, the old theatre, the Grand Theatre, the Opera House, and of course our new friends, which are in the vicinity of only streets away from each other. So we are not finished with the social geographic because I only had the men last week. So. But nevertheless, they are very interesting. And which is also interesting, they both, in fact, a very prestigious lot of soil to build their own concert room, which was a shooting range of an old militia called the Guild. And it was a large garden, more to say. And they built this lovely building in the garden, so the picture of 1826. And look at those fantastic closed windows here on the up on the piano nobile. That's where the dancing hall was, and we can know that because it used to be transformed in a bank early 20th century, and they transformed that bank and they tried to adopt it to the new use of the building. So we know very much where the dancing floor was, and we know also how the floor plan layout was. And I tried to figure out how many people could dance there at once, because we have this huge program, so we know what they danced. And it's only 7.60 meters wide and 50 meters long, so four quadrilles is more or less the maximum, with the very demanding style of quadrille dancing around that time that you can possibly fit in. So it's only 36 dancers per dance, and it's half of the program in number of dances, but in timing, because the quadrille dancing is taking much more time, I guess, it's about 75% more like. And which is also comes to why these 36 dancers. Well, we know from these tax records, here you have one, from the carnival season of 1815, which runs parallel with this memory 8th card I showed you. We know exactly how many tickets were sold, 883, which makes about 176 cards sold per occasion, which is saying nothing about the number of people attending, because from this reglement, this rule book, we know that only male members could purchase tickets, and they could invite for free their spouses, children, house guests, etc. So hundreds of people, double that number, triple that number easily, you get more the idea of if I press not F5, will it go off? It's really terrible. How do you do that? It's starting from a new page. Can anybody lend me some help?
If you go to slideshow, and then from current slide.
Slideshow, go from current slide, okay. Yes, okay, there we are. Okay, we go back this one. Okay, there we are. Which makes this particularly importance of these galleries and sites. This is the basilica type of ballroom,
one of the previous slideshows went about this oblong with these galleries inside. Well, this is the most intelligent setup for a commercial venue at that time, because you needed to organize and concerts and balls and banquets and playing. Playing was done down in the basement also, billiard playing, card playing. So if you wanted to make it economically viable, you had to foresee an escape route to the bar. This is really important. The side galleries are really, really something in the setup of these rooms. They begin to emerge in continental Europe around the 70s of the 18th century, and they spread over all the place. Around this time, virtually every new concert room and vaudeville theater, everything which is commercially exploited, is copying this Basilica plan. So, what is particularly intriguing also is that we dispose via this application process with the City Council of all the member lists, all the types of society. This is from a particular society more aiming towards the lower classes, but they still had their own association, so to say. This is the Konijnenpeep. It is in fact the rabbit hole. It's called, and you can see why if you look at the building, because it was a very, very small entrance towards the front street, towards the theater behind. Very dangerous, in my opinion. But it existed until the late 19th century. This one is from a very honorable, have a very prestigious member list. It's the Société du Conseil de la Bourse. It's the oldest one. It's recruited mostly from this high society members, all the elite, so to say. And this one is of the Philharmonique. And Professor Hildebraeus did some analysis on that to see how many networks there existed. I mentioned that. And I tried to find out who they were. But my point of view is, of course, musical networks as well. So I tried to find out how many musicians were members, and we could find that out. And it mostly were a top category of 25 musicians supported by their patrons, who were also a member of society. Which is important to say also is that a lot of military-style musicians playing wood instruments were among these musicians, and they were coming from the French army occupying the city. And they were, so to say, the start of the first semi-professional orchestras in our regions, and they were, the patrons were recruiting more from the new elites than from the old elites, and also from the international businessmen coming, rushing to Antwerp to look for new opportunities. To look for the new opening of the River Scheldt, and they wanted to find out what that was. So it was a mixture between new elites and international elites, which were, by all means, they were also new. So compared to the old elites, they were much more socially diverse and mixed up than any other society in at the same time. So these dance programs, they will have served the aim as to introduce everybody to these new dances and offer them the same opportunities to start to dance on equal footing. There we are.
Thank you very much indeed, a very detailed, source-rich paper. Questions?
When you were doing the calculations for how many people could fit, how many couples could fit in the floor space, do you do that based on human body size now, or do you allow that people?
It's more what Mr. Rogers says in his De Quadrille book about dancing of this style quadrilles in ancient ballrooms, and he just says, "I need so many square meters." So I copied that idea. Very simple. It's perhaps body size, but it's also what you need as a dancing space to execute those very complicated steps and pirouettes and entrechats and
everything. I have a comment about this curious listing of dances in Paris in the Philidor collection.
Yes.
With the recueil de danse that are played at the ball.
Yes.
They are organized and keyed in lists just like that.
Okay.
But not printed lists.
Not printed lists.
So you had to redo the updated list by hand.
Okay.
But it categorizes the dances into groups.
Okay.
And then it gives you a page number where this group begins, and then it lists the sequence of dances.
Okay, that's
that you find.
But it's referring to printed source?
Yes.
Is the patients are referencing to printed material?
Yeah.
Okay, then I didn't know. Yeah, fine. But I know from Vienna, for instance, that from 1820, they were also obliged by new law to put on the dance program outside the ballroom. That was a new law from 1820s. I think that Witzmann is talking about that. But I never found any example of that anywhere.
No.
So it's really early for printed dance programs.
But it does.
It has a preset. Well, there are older examples of similar arrangements.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
I'm curious about this amount of people in the room again. So you've got 883 tickets have been sold, and there's like only that amount. How did they swap out? So some people watched. And
that's a good question. It's apparently in Regency times, it was very fashionable to have very crowded ballrooms.
Do you think there were more than four?
No, they were dancing before. Quite particularly sure about the because the rules of the arrangement of the balls are also in the rule book, and they say that everybody who is not dancing and the dancing master is arranging the quadrilles together with his assistants, they really have to take care that they're not too crowded on the ball on the dancing floor.
So they can do it properly.
Yes, and everybody was standing perhaps holding their breath on the sides or going for a drink in the basement.
And then who decides how it swaps out? Or is there anything that, do we know anything about that?
No, I don't have eyewitness accounts.
I'm just curious, because I'm looking at Vienna a bit earlier, but you see these really crowded ballrooms and
yes, but not for this, I guess for the waltzes and the colons, which are long-way style country dances, actually. I suppose that was more crowded. But for the quadrilles, they were very, very strict.
Very strict, yeah.
And that's mentioned as such in the rule book. So I have no doubt about it. They were really strict about the quadrilles.
It's very interesting.
You mentioned the distinction between contredanse en suite and quadrille. So what is the difference? Is the contredanse en suite with the changes?
No, I think the contredanse en suite is just the every kind of link up to the other in groups of four instead of standardized versions. It is quadrille style dancing, which I'm supposing is this complicated version of executing the contredanse, but they use the name contredanse for quadrille until the 30s of the 19th century in the same club, because we have found back later on other dance programs, similar dance programs from 28-30. And they call it then, they call it contredanse 1-3-4. So it's still the same.
So you think they're doing a single contredanse with the changes?
Yes, and then the next, and then the next, and the next. It's between the modern quadrille, standardized version, and the old contredanse. The style is already modern, but the naming, the real choreography is not yet. And it takes a rather long time before it gets there.
Mm.
That's my opinion after analyzing this. Even the programs from 28-30 are not so not so one side.
Thank you very much. Across the continent to Vienna, but